Yeah, you stopped to save a dog.
Yep.
What did we do with that dog?
The police gave it to the police.
Oh.
They knew whose dog it was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was like a small town where we were.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's so-and-so's dog. I'll take it. Called the person, like the sheriff or whatever, called the person right there and said, hey, I have your dog.
Welcome to Off the Beaten Path, But Not Lost.
With Tony,
Kristen,
Kylie, and Lexi.
Join us on this RV full-time living journey.
Across the beautiful United States.
Where the fair was.
Welcome back to episode 119. You're never going to believe where we're at. We're back in Yuma.
We had to make a quick decision. We drove half a day in the wrong direction.
400 miles.
Yeah.
Out of our way. And then now we have to go 400 miles back. So 800 miles out of our way.
Yeah, basically.
First, the kids are not going to be on this one. This is boring stuff for them. So they're going to skip this episode. And sorry that we did not put out an episode last week. Things just got a little wild.
And you'll learn why right now.
Yeah. If you need any of the show notes for this episode, you can find them at thefailas.com/119. The last thing that we told you guys, we were in,
Southern Nevada.
Yeah, Southern Nevada near Pahrump.
Yep.
And we were doing a podcast in a tent in a really cool area. And then after there, we were headed to Death Valley. And we went to Death Valley, and it was really cool for a couple of days.
Yeah, we got like three, maybe four good days.
A good sunset.
Yeah.
We can talk about that on a different podcast, because today is a different episode.
Today's episode is all about being decisive and flexible. So we said we had a few good days in Death Valley. It was middle of the week. We were running low on milk and gas in the Jeep. You could say it. We weren't really running low on gas, but I wanted to get gas when I left to go to the store, because in Furnace Creek on the east side of Death Valley, kind of in the area we were staying, you can get gas there, but it's close to $8 a gallon.
Yeah.
And if it was just a few gallons, no big deal, but, you know, I probably needed 15 gallons. I think I have a quarter of a tank of gas in the Jeep. So I'm going to drive about 25 minutes the other direction to go to this gas station where they have gas for like $3.96 or something like that. Something worth driving to.
Plus, we needed milk.
And they have a little market. I can get some milk and a couple other little things. Well, I got about 10 miles down the road in the middle of nowhere, and the Jeep just died.
Our biggest fear.
Yeah. I did have the dogs with me. We did put an Instagram post about this with a picture, a little description of what happened. But I did have the dogs with me. The wife and kids were at home, thankfully, because where I was, there was no cell service. I pulled over. I tried a few things that I thought might get me back on the road, but the Jeep wouldn't move. The engine starts, but it's kind of like in some sort of like protective limp mode, which a lot of computerized cars do when they have some sort of engine issue. So it wouldn't move under its own power. So I had to make the decision. Am I going to walk with the dogs, or am I going to leave them here and just try to walk until I get signal? So I made that decision. I walked about a quarter of a mile away from the Jeep.
Well, that decision was to leave the dogs. You cracked the windows, and you had a feeling that you could get signal a little ways away. So you weren't walking too far away from them.
Yeah,
but you did leave water and everything out for them.
Yep. We always carry water for the dogs, and they have their own little water bowls. But I also, to set the scene,
yeah,
this area is just, there's mountains all around, but it's flat. And it's a straight road for miles and miles and miles. So no matter how far I walked, I'd be able to see the Jeep. I keep an eye on it. Luckily, I only had to walk about a quarter of a mile to actually get cell service. So I called Kristen, let her know what was going on, let her know that I was going to get a hold of a tow truck and then have it towed back to the RV, because we were boondocking in the middle of nowhere. So I got a hold of that guy. He was in Pahrump, which is roughly an hour away. He was fueling up his tow truck. And then I just sat around and waited. I did have one person out of about 50 stop. But I will say this. I didn't ever make myself look like I was in distress. So I don't blame a lot of other people for not stopping, because half the time I was just sitting there playing on my phone.
Mm-hmm. I still think it's nice to stop because you never know. You know, yeah, you didn't have signal. You could have been paralyzed or something. You couldn't walk. I mean, who knows what the problem was. You always stop and ask and just to make sure everyone's okay, as long as you can. If we're driving in the RV, obviously you don't stop because we can't pull over the RV.
Yeah.
Actually, I think you did that one time.
I don't remember. I've stopped a lot.
A dog.
Oh, yeah, in the middle of the road.
Yeah, you stopped to save a dog.
Yep.
What did we do with that dog?
The police gave it to the police.
Oh.
They knew whose dog it was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was like a small town where we were.
Sorry.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's so-and-so's dog. I'll take it. Called the person, like the sheriff or whatever, called the person right there and said, hey, I have your dog. Yeah, that was pretty weird. But this time, the guy that stopped to ask me if I was okay, he had actually passed me about 30 minutes prior to that in his semi-truck. So he must be making deliveries or something somewhat near, because there's nothing for 20 to 30 miles in any direction. But he came back in his car and he said he was just driving back through and saw that I was still here and wanted to make sure I was okay. So that was cool. And another thing that didn't make this too bad as far as where we were and everything, it was early in the morning. I think I'd left at about maybe 7:30, 7:45 in the morning. So it was still cool. It was actually forecasted to be pretty hot that day, like in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So that was good. It was still sunny. It was still getting a little warm in the Jeep when we were there. But luckily the engine ran. I could run the air while we waited. So that wasn't that big of a deal.
So he towed you back to camp about what time?
I would say, I don't really know, but probably between 9 and 10.
And then you came home, you did some tinkering on the Jeep trying to get it working.
I think I spent maybe an hour just checking all of the things, you know, if it was some sort of a, like, oil pressure switch. If it was low on oil, I added a little bit of oil to it. Checked everything that I could check.
You did some calling around.
Yeah, I looked on, looked online to see what was going on. And there's just so many different factors that it could have been that kind of wasted time.
So then you called our favorite spot in Yuma.
Yep.
Made sure they had room for us. You got us booked here.
Same day, our
mechanic. And we were on the road by like 2.
Yep.
To drive 400 miles.
Yep.
8 hours to Yuma.
Yeah, we had a little family meeting, made the call, because we didn't, you know, when you're on the road and you have a major deal like that, it's hard to say. Like, the tow truck driver, the only thing that he could really recommend, because he didn't really know a lot of mechanics and stuff, he does a lot of his own work, was the Jeep dealer in Pahrump, which is only an hour away, which is fine. The only thing is the timeline, because this is our only vehicle. How long is the Jeep dealer going to have it? I mean,
where are we going to stay?
We have to pay to stay somewhere. Yeah. And like I said, we don't really know the area very well. Typically, dealerships are more money.
And take longer.
Mechanics and take longer. That was one thing we're like, you know what? It might just be worth it to go back, use our Encore membership, be able to stay for 2 weeks for free. And we know our mechanic. He's worked on our vehicle before. He's familiar with it.
So we decided to do it.
So yeah. And this part of it, it's kind of a bummer because it puts a big dent in our travel plans.
Mm-hmm.
Especially this time of year, the whole Southwest is really starting to heat up.
Yeah, it's very hot here right now.
Yeah.
It's like 100 degrees, which, by the way, I know in the beginning of our podcast, you guys would always hear about us complain. If you listened back then, you would hear about us complaining about, okay, now it's time to turn this episode off so we can turn the air back on. That's exactly what we're thinking today. So.
And it's only 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yes. So... So that's what happened. And, you know, we made a family decision. We all, you know, worked together to get the place cleaned up and ready to go because we were supposed to be there for another week. So we weren't ready to leave yet. We got on the road. We were headed back I think we were on the road by 2.
Yeah, I feel like it was 1:30, 2 o'clock.
We had to go grocery shopping during that, like afterwards, because, you know, now we don't have a Jeep to go get it after we get here. So we wanted to get that done before we got to Yuma.
Part of that was we knew we were going to be without our vehicle for at least a couple days.
Yep.
So
exactly.
Not to mention it's disabled before they get to look at it. So who knows how long it's going to be. So we tried to stock up on what we could, what we figured we would need for the next 4 or 5 days without a vehicle. And put the icing on the cake about halfway
back
to the campground that we were going to stay at. These steps on the RV broke.
Yeah, they broke at Walmart before when we were closing up.
I think it was when we stopped for lunch. I think it was right after we left the boondocking spot. We stopped for lunch and I was getting ready to maybe walk to go get our order or something because we stopped for food because I was just like, I'm not making anything. I'm getting on the road and we're getting there.
Yep.
So we stopped for lunch. Yeah, when I shut the door, the steps like went halfway in and then started making a grinding sound, which we've heard before. We've talked about it in several podcasts. We've actually had these steps break.
Twice. This is our third time.
This will be our third time that the gears in the motor sound like they strip out and they don't want to close properly. So.
And how much is that fix? I don't think it's too expensive, is
it? I think the whole unit, because I don't just fix the little part. It's like the whole unit. It's like $80 or something, I think.
Yeah, and we've had to fix it twice now. This will be our third time. I wonder if there's a different setup we could do.
I think we fixed it in 2020, maybe 2022. So about every 2 years, we get out of these steps. And I think big thing is a lot of the parts are made out of plastic. And it's not like we abuse the steps. You know, we don't.
But they're not. So RVs are not made to live in.
No.
They're made to vacation in.
Yep.
So normally you would not go through these steps like we are. It's just that we change locations. I mean, we've been in Yuma for a long time, but we pretty much change locations every 2 weeks. So we're bringing those steps in and out every 2 weeks at least.
Yeah.
If not many times before that.
Yeah, our steps probably go in and out more in a couple months than most, you know, part-timers do in a lifetime of their RV.
Yeah, exactly. So that happened, which is kind of a pain because Tony had to, like, open the door and, like, pull something out.
I got a little strap with a hook on it, and I fed it through the screen door, and I closed that so the steps would want to come in, and I hooked it, and I pulled it closed.
Why didn't you take the magnet off before?
Because then it would just stay out.
Because now to fix it, you've taken the magnet off until you can fix the problem.
Like, yeah, it's like the switch that.
But you couldn't do that when we were driving because you didn't want it to stay out.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So that happened. And then was it when we first got here? Yeah. Okay. So we moved on Wednesday, all day Wednesday. I had to take an emergency day off work.
Yep.
Because we were driving, I wouldn't have signal. So all day Wednesday, we drove. We got here at like 10 o'clock at night. Thursday, we were exhausted in the beginning of the day. And then I like tweaked my back a little bit. So I took a painkiller. So I was kind of out of work that day because I was like going in and out. Then yesterday, I was going outstairs. Tony was fixing the decals. So we've taken this opportunity, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but we've taken this opportunity to get some things done that we wanted to get done anyways, and we just ran out of time when we were here before. So Tony was outside fixing the decals. We replaced our decals with our new logo, and he wanted me to see it. So he asked me to come out, and I was going out carefully, like, because of my back, and ended up coming down on the cement wrong or something. I don't know. I'm brand new coming out of an RV, apparently. Rolled my ankle really bad. Like, both sides of my ankle rolled. I don't even know how I did that.
Yeah.
And I face planted into my kid's vegetable garden. And so, yeah, I rolled my ankle. So all these things are happening.
It's been an amazing week.
Yeah. This week has not been good.
But we're here. We're settled. We're waiting for the Jeep to get picked up. And then he did stop by and like scan the codes and stuff to get an idea of what could be wrong. Then he's finishing up another project that he's got, and he's going to pick up our Jeep and take it and see what he can do.
We had to get our mail sent to us. We had forgot to do that before we left. So that was cool because we were actually trying to figure out how we were going to have our mail sent to us because we were moving so much. And the mail comes FedEx, which means you can't have it sent to like a UPS store.
Yeah, a lot of them do not allow FedEx deliveries, which...
Yeah.
I get it, but.
And a USPS store. So we were kind of like stuck. We're like, where are we going to have this delivered? And we had a couple packages there that we need to have sent to us. So that was cool because we got to have that delivered to us. Again, we've wanted to get our decals put back on. There's a couple other small projects that I've been bugging Tony to do. I think you should do a reel on how long you keep parts for.
Yeah.
Because he likes to buy, like, whenever we have projects that need to be fixed, he'll buy the part, like, right away to fix the problem. Or I'll buy it, like, I want this project done. And so I'll buy all the parts for it, and then we just don't do it for, like, ever. I think there's the USB thing in the Jeep that you bought, like, over a year ago.
Yeah.
Maybe longer.
Just waiting for the right time to put it in.
So we need it. Absolutely need it. Yep. So that's cool because we can get a couple things done there. We have a pool. We're here for a couple weeks free.
Yeah, the girls and I went swimming yesterday.
And we can always leave early if everything gets done quickly. We can just leave early. But so we're trying to make lemonade out of this horrible situation. And so far it's not been too bad, but it is warm here. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's really, to me, it's like the biggest con of this whole situation is it's hot. We don't really like to be in places that's, you know, in the mid to upper 90s because RVs really are really not made for that type of weather, despite having air conditioner. Our air conditioner keeps up pretty well here.
But as soon as you turn it off, it gets hot and it's loud.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the bummer. Like I get cold with the air conditioner on in the RV. So it's not like we're hot in the RV at all. It's just that they're so loud. You just don't, like, I was like, just shut it off for a few minutes. Like, I need silence.
Yep. Yeah. That's another thing is, like, if you're trying to watch a movie or something, it's like you have that right overhead just blasting.
Now, that being said, there are some things that we have seen other people do, like the other air conditioning units.
Yeah, like mini splits and stuff like that.
That are so much quieter. I just don't know where we'd put them in here, but I don't know. I'm kind of thinking about trying to figure it out because those are so quiet. We saw somebody on Instagram put in a few and they're like silent. Like she's like, I'm going to be quiet so you can hear them. And could you even hear them?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't even think it was on.
No. I was like, that's amazing. But anyways, let's get back to the point of this podcast. So those are all the issues. That's where we're at right now. And so for the second half of this podcast, I figured we should go over some skills or things to keep in mind if you live this lifestyle, because it can be scary and stressful when things don't go as planned and you're in an area you don't know, which is pretty much all the time.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So like you're always...
We've talked about these situations with like vets and doctors and that kind of thing. Like all that stuff applies.
Yeah, we're always in areas like we're always moving. So we're always in areas that we're not the most familiar with. And when stuff like this goes wrong, you have to think about, you know, for our situation right now, for example, we don't have a car. So we need to be able to get to what we need by walking or riding our bikes. We don't even have our bikes.
We can take the RV. Like if we had to go somewhere, use the RV as our vehicle, which don't like to do that. But if we have to, we have to.
Yeah. We also wanted to be close near a mechanic that, you know, knows. And that's another thing. When you're in areas like we were in Death Valley, we didn't know where to take it. We don't know what a good dealer is. We didn't know how long they would have it. There's no signal. Everything was kind of a mess.
I think a huge one is preventative maintenance and being prepared.
Yeah. So just to put this in perspective, we've had an engine light on our Jeep.
I don't think we should put that in there.
For a couple of weeks, so maybe we should have been prevent.
There's a little snippet of do as I say, not as I do in here, because we have had a check engine light on, or a couple lights on the Jeep. One of them completely unrelated to our problem that we have now, and that's a ABS light, which has to do with a wheel speed sensor, which I've replaced, and
we've replaced them all.
We've replaced them all. It's a common problem with this generation of Jeep, and it's just a major headache, and it's like a cascade of things. So that's unrelated. We did have the check engine light, and it did come on and off a couple times, and then it went solid, and then obviously we didn't do anything about it. Should have.
Yeah. One thing to keep in mind here is that Jeeps go wrong. A lot of things go bad on Jeeps.
Love hate.
Yeah, it's a love hate relationship. Things go wrong on the Jeep all the time, and we just deal with the most of them. because we love the Jeep so much. Yeah. We're always going to have a Jeep. It doesn't matter how much money they make us spend to fix things or how many problems or how many hassles. We love the Jeep.
Yep.
We love going off-road in it. We love everything about it. So the fact that there were a couple lights on there, to a normal person, they probably would have got them fixed right away, but we're just used to seeing stuff on there.
Yeah.
For example, we just went off-roading in Yuma and heard some like knocking with our four-wheel drive was turned on.
Yep.
But because it was just four-wheel drive, Tony had an idea of what it was.
It's one of those things, it still works if I need it.
Yeah. It's just we can't use our four-wheel drive, really. So Tony ended up ordering the part when we were in Vegas.
Yep.
We got it, and then when we got to Death Valley, he fixed that. Like, yep. Was it the day before or 2 days before?
Yeah, it was a couple days before the Jeep broke, actually.
Yeah. They're not related. The issues are not related at all.
It was just the task I did in Death Valley was just I rebuilt the front drive shaft. There's a CV joint on it that goes bad when you lift vehicles. We didn't know that was going to happen until it's too late. So it just makes some noise, kind of a grinding noise when it's in four-wheel drive. Other than that, there's no noise, no problems. So I was able to fix that. It worked perfectly. And then here we are, something else.
So yes, there were some engine lights on there, but and we should have got them fixed. And this is a lesson that we have learned.
Yeah.
We'll talk about lessons learned later in the podcast. But this is something that we know going forward that we need to make sure we don't have those, because this could have been a way more serious situation. We are in the hottest, driest place in the United States,
yep.
at least, yep. and maybe in the world, I don't know. But it could have been a very scary situation if we were on a more remote trail, which, by the way, I had been bugging Tony yep. to go on. Like, I was like, I don't even think we should own a Jeep anymore. We haven't been on a dirt road in, like, weeks.
Yeah, part of my selling point was for staying in Death Valley so long is, not only is there the national park things to do, there's a ton of trails to do around here.
So. Yeah. So we were just itching to do that. We may have been doing one that night.
Yep.
To be honest, who knows? That is really scary because we could have been on a way more remote road with everybody. And the scary thing about that is we would have water. And the car did run. So we could run air conditioning if we had to, I guess. But
then we'd have to leave you guys there while I walked for service.
Or we could have all walked together, but that's dangerous.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of a scary situation altogether. So, it could have been way more scary. So, preventative maintenance is a plus.
There's two types of people. There's the drive directly to dealership when check engine light come on person. And then there's me. It's just a check engine light.
You reset it a few times.
Reset. Yeah, exactly. So
if it comes back on, I'll worry about it.
If it comes back, I'll give it three more tries.
But now we may think about that a little bit more. Especially this year, we're going to be going into some really remote areas this year. So,
and that another thing that comes into play in this section is, you don't have to carry a full-on mechanics tool set, but keep the basics. I did have some tools on hand, some basic tools. Because one of the things that I tried when I was sitting on the side of the road was disconnect a battery terminal to try to reset the computer to see if it would get out of that limp mode that it was in. Just maybe I could drive it back. So I used those tools to do that. It didn't work, but I still was able to try it. If I didn't have anything with me, I would have never been able to get that battery cable off.
And this is good to have, some tools in your actual vehicle, your main vehicle, but also to have tools as well in your, in your RV or your camper or something, so that you can do some things to try to fix it.
And another handy thing to have, which I don't have anymore, but I ordered, is a code scanner. I've been told before, if you own a Jeep, you should just automatically have a code scanner because it's something that you'll use.
And you did have one.
I had one. I just didn't like it that much, so I returned it. I never ordered one ever again. I don't know why, but I do have one on order. It's supposed to be here today, but I think it's not going to come until after the weekend. Yeah.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is not just related to things breaking, but plans changing in general. and that's being able to deal with unexpected situations emotionally.
Yeah.
This is a big bummer. We had a lot planned. Yeah. I mean, we planned on staying in Death Valley for at least another probably 7 to 8 days.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to stay in the park one day because I wanted to stay at negative 200 and whatever feet. I thought that'd be super cool.
Yep.
So that's a bummer. We planned on going through Nevada, which we hadn't explored yet. We may have to change that plan now, depending on when we get out of here.
Yeah, we had some cool plans in like central Nevada, northern Nevada, as stops along the way, but we'll have to reroute.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's a bummer. So trying to plan ahead for these situations, I think we handled it pretty well. We had that family meeting. We're like, we got to do this. And then having like good things or positive things.
Yeah.
You know, whenever something goes wrong with us, we're always like, okay, that sucks. But when we're there, we could do this. Or when we go do this, we could do that. You know, like we try to give like positives to the problem. So for example, here we're like, but we'll have a pool again.
Yeah.
And but we could get a couple things done. We can get our mail delivered. We can, you know, do this and that. We have a free space for 2 weeks that we can stay at. So we had a lot of
We tried benefits. To shine the light on the pros of the situation. Yeah. And I will say, like, even just me by myself or me with the dogs and the Jeep, when that thing first happened, I pulled off to the side of the road and, you know, immediately had a slight, not panic attack, but I definitely had a moment where I was like, crap, what do I don't even know what to do right now. Cause I have the dogs, I'm in the middle of nowhere, I have no signal. So I sat there for probably 3 or 4 minutes, just like waiting it out, like, you know, trying to think of different things, shut the vehicle off, let it sit for a few minutes, and then just kind of like try to make a decision right there.
I probably would have had a panic attack because I wouldn't have wanted to leave the dogs.
It was just, for me, it wasn't like a panic attack at all. It was more of a, oh crap, what do I do? Like sometimes your brain just kind of goes into like a scramble mode. You just got to slow it down and you got to think of all your options. So that's when I decided. I was like, you know what? I'll walk for a little bit, but not too far because I'm not going to leave the dogs for more than 20 minutes.
Yeah. And then you deal with the next, like you didn't have a plan B though, did you?
I did. I was going to flag somebody down to see if they had any type of cell service or some sort of communication that was better than mine. Because we also have the radio in the Jeep, which I did turn on and tried to listen. I had there was nobody talking. So it's not like I could butt in on a conversation. So it's just one of the things, like I was going to try to get cell signal. If I couldn't, I was going to flag somebody down and see what we could do from there.
And then plan C would have come in. Panic.
Yeah. At first I was a little nervous, but especially once I got cell service, it was, I was much calmer.
One good thing when it's something that's going wrong with your motorhome or your Jeep is having good insurance or roadside assistance. We have Progressive. So we knew that we could have a tow truck through that if we had to. We just had to get a hold of them.
Yeah. My only worry there was how long is it going to take? Because I wasn't, I knew there was nothing for a little ways away.
Mm-hmm.
So am I going to be sitting here for an hour or 3 hours?
And Progressive is very good at saying we'll get somebody for you. Like you can actually do it through their app even. Yep. So I don't know if you need as good of signal. Like sometimes you don't need as good of signal if you could do it through there and not talk to somebody. But they'll get somebody for you if you're in a situation, or you can actually just pay for it up front and then get it reimbursed.
Yeah.
So they're very good at that. They told me I could do it both ways. So I told Tony that, and then he was able to make a decision. We just called somebody and had them take care of it.
Yep.
You should make sure ahead of time that your insurance covers roadside assistance for sure, because you never know. That's the most important thing, is getting off the road. So you don't want to be stuck on the road somewhere. And then second, one thing we've learned, the Restless Russells on Instagram has had an issue. You should just definitely go check out their profile. We'll link it in the show notes. They had an issue where they hit something.
Yeah.
They hit a tire or something.
Yeah. In their RV.
Yeah. In their RV. There was a lot of damage done to the RV and they had to get things fixed. So they've been going through some issues with like insurance paying for, you know, their Airbnb and all of that. So very interesting. You should make sure you have all of that checked out before and check out their page to see more information.
Yeah, they've been making a lot of videos about being aware of all of the things in your insurance policy, because a lot of that stuff they had covered, the amount of coverage wasn't enough for some of the things. So,
and it's scary because you don't really, like, I don't really understand that stuff. So when I call and made, you know, I worked with Progressive as well, and they're very nice, but I don't even know half the stuff I got. I do know that I'm like, okay, if somebody breaks in, like, I tell them in my language, I say, if somebody breaks in and steals my stuff, what part of this covers that? And then they'll tell me, and I'll say, okay, I want to boost that. I want to make that higher because this is our home, so we have a lot of, you know, stuff. So boost that up. You know, if we have glass breakage because we're on highways all the time, what covers that? So they'll tell me, and I'm like, okay, I want that.
Yep.
You know, and so we'll go through the policy that way, and I think that's easier. One thing that's interesting, if we just found this out when we got our storage unit, is our Progressive insurance covers our stuff in our storage unit as well.
Yep.
So that's very interesting. If you have, if you live full time and you have a storage unit, see if your insurance covers that as well. The next point would be to be able to adapt quickly, or
yeah, that's where it, being decisive.
Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of like funny conversations in our house. We're kind of weird.
A lot of what ifs.
And we do with the whole family, with the kids. What if this? What if that? You know, like we do a lot of Armageddon situations, apocalyptic, you know, like if our kids are like, Dad, I'm hungry. We're like, okay, it's Armageddon. We're gone. What do you do? You know,
yep.
Really, we're just being lazy probably and making our kids make their own food for something.
Yep.
But either way, it's just fun. It's a fun way to think about things. One, even though some of these situations are totally off the wall, like zombies, they're totally crazy and that never going to happen, it puts you in a different mindset when things like this happen, you know? Yeah, that sucks that we have to drive for, you know, 400 miles in the wrong direction and then 400 miles back, but it's not zombies.
Yep.
So it's a positive, right? I will say that our kids instantly jumped into gear. They were like, we all have our things that we kind of do to close up certain situations when we're leaving. The kids were like vacuuming. We didn't even ask them to do that. They rolled up the rugs. They were like vacuuming. Tony was outside. Like, it was crazy how fast the kids, I was actually surprised how fast they jumped into gear and started helping. And then
I think it might have been a little bit of like, they could sense a little bit of the urgency.
Yeah.
In the situation, you know what I mean? Like, our Jeep's broke and now we have to derail our plans right now to do something to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
we had
that
an
kinda,
8-hour drive. Yeah. So they were like, okay, let's jump in.
Not to mention, our kids are weird. They love longer move days. Like, they're like, if it's a 45-minute hour drive to our next location, they're like bummed. They want it to be a 3-4 hour.
So do we, though. We like long drives. We used to before the RV. Yeah.
Ish.
Before the RV, we used to go on long drives all the time and loved it. The RV is a little bit more tiring. But I have to say, the entire 8-hour drive, our kids never complained once. In fact, they probably could have drove more.
Yeah.
I was ready to be here, by the way.
Yeah, same here.
It was a little too long for me. I was like, I need to get up and move. So I was ready to be here, but the kids were totally good.
Yeah. And we don't do the big travel days like that very often. I mean, we're probably less than half a dozen total in 5 years.
I feel like there's less than I think we've only done like three times.
I can think of probably four.
Oh, interesting.
But it's just, yeah, it's not something that we do on a regular basis. But when it has to be done, we do it.
So one other thing to add into this section is, when you are super stressed about all the things, you can make bad decisions.
Yeah.
So that's the other good thing about pulling everybody in, because then we just say, you know, these are our options. What do we do? And like, everybody can have an input. So it's not one person making a bad decision.
Yep.
You know, to come back here, was it the right decision? I think so. I still am okay with coming back here, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe it would be better to go to a different, you know, dealer. The only thing that was like a good trigger is we had had a fix done on the Jeep before that needs to be replaced. Like, he needs to fix it again.
Yeah.
Because the same thing is happening, and he warranties his work. So it was kind of like, oh, well, he could fix that problem again too. So that was another plus of coming back here and going to him. If that problem wouldn't have been there, I may have, like, questioned. Yeah. Maybe we do try to find somewhere else. And I wasn't necessarily thinking Pahrump. I was actually thinking, like, more north. You know, let's go, because we could tow our Jeep for a while. So, you know, maybe we go to a whole different area.
The only bad thing about that, like, that was kind of one of the things in Nevada.
There is nothing.
It's very spread out. And most of the stuff in the middle, like, our route was very, very small townish areas. So there wasn't a lot of options. So we could have, like, went to Pahrump. We could have went into the Vegas area.
We could have went into Utah.
Yeah.
Started going up that way. I mean, it would have sucked because we would have drove even farther. And there's a lot of things we wanted to do on the way. So that's why we decided to come back.
Yeah. And it wasn't the end of the world. Like,
also, I think when you're stressed and you're, like, under all this pressure, it is good to have options. So we threw out a few different options, and we worked them out together. It wasn't one of us making it. But having the multiple different options, like a plan A, plan B, and plan C, I think is important, because at first you may think your first plan is, like, the best plan. But then when you think about all the other things, okay, maybe we do plan B or something like that. So I think it's good to have a couple options, even if you're pretty sure you're going to go with plan A. Similar to that, where we kind of worked together in the last point that we were making, this next point is team collaboration. And that is, all of us have different strengths. Like, Tony is, like, you kind of are, you're, it's funny because when we first got together, you were more of, like, an optimistic person, but now you're kind of pessimistic. Like, you're, like, instant, like, well, we're screwed. You know, like, that's the first thing you think about it. And then I think I'm good at, like, tell me why we're screwed. And then as soon as you start talking about it, you're good at coming up with solutions. Like, you actually are very good at coming up with solutions, but your first response is always like a, nope, can't be done. It's too hard for me. I can't do it. And then I'm like, tell me why it's too hard. You know, like, explain to me. And then you start explaining and you're like, okay, I could probably do that, or I could probably do this, or whatever. So I think we have our strengths, and our kids are pretty good at, you know, also coming in and having interesting questions and answers to things. And it's like, yeah, I guess we could do it that way. Or, it's really not that big of a deal. Like, they say that a lot. It's like, oh, yeah, really, it's not, is it?
Yeah, they stay pretty positive on most of the things. Yeah, I used to be like the, let's get right to it. Like, even if I don't know how to do it, I'll try it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what, like, over the years, I kind of, I don't know if it was, you know what I think it was? I think it was the house.
Yeah.
I think it was our house.
You had a lot of bad luck.
There's a lot of two steps forward, one step back kind of situations. Like, when we were renovating our old farmhouse.
Yeah, like, we fixed the floor because the floor was gross, like, because it was an old farmhouse and we didn't like the floor. So we removed the floor and we were putting in a new flooring, and then you found, like, a spot that was rotted. So then you have to fix the rotted spot.
And then you got to tear most of it out.
Then to get the rotted spot fixed, you'd have to go into the crawl space, and then you found some, like, tubes or something that, are these here for?
It was definitely a snowball.
Yeah.
And that's that. I kind of got into the mindset there, was like, my outlook or my, like, prediction for fixing it became kind of like a, well, if I start this, I'm going to have to do this and this and that. If I don't even worry about it or pay somebody to do it.
Yeah. Yes. But I think when we talk things out, it's
plus helpful. I was busy. Mm-hmm. I was working 50, 60 hours a week as well. So that also was like, that also weighs down my decision.
I think, though, that everyone has their own strengths and non-strengths. And I think when you work together, that's another good thing about having the team, is you can all work together and your strengths will help out the decision making.
Yeah.
It's also good to have your kids involved in this whole process so they can see things go wrong.
Yep.
And this is how we handle it when things go wrong. Like, that was a pretty big deal. Like, yeah. This week has been a pretty big deal. I hurt my back. I hurt my ankle. Our stairs won't work. And our Jeep is literally broken. Like, disabled. Does not move at all. Like, those are four things that could really trigger somebody.
Yeah.
And we handled it pretty well. We're laughing about it. I'm like, great, Tony, I have a whole list of things for you to work on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And being without a vehicle right now, I can't escape. So my honeydew list has just been, like, nonstop.
Yeah, and the kids are like, yes, let's go swimming. Yeah. Like, it's been a positive. And so that's really good to show your kids how to react in stressful situations.
Yeah.
You know, yes, it's stressful. Yes, we have to take it serious. Yes, we have to figure it out. And then we move on, and we make that decision, and we move on.
Yeah. Yeah, and even in this with the Jeep situation, there was never a point where I was mad. Like, sometimes if something on the RV breaks, especially if it has to do with a toilet or something like that, like something that I really don't like doing, like at first, the first thing I have is like anger. Like, I hate this thing. I hate this toilet or this black
thing. We're getting rid of it.
Yeah, something like that is like the first thing. And then I take a walk or whatever I do, I sit and think about it, and then I just do it.
And then it's over, yeah.
But none of that ever really happened with the Jeep. Like, I was, at first, I was like, crap, what do I do? Let me think about it. Let me sit here and think about it. Finally decided to walk, got a hold of you, got a hold of the tow truck. That was like a weight off of my shoulders right there. Mm-hmm. Then once we got it back, you know, I messed around with it to no avail. And then we just decided, like, you know what? We just got to come up with something.
I think it's funny, like, when you're getting in your tool garage is the funniest thing in this RV. Because whenever you're getting in there for something, if it's not on top, you throw the biggest fit. You're like pulling stuff out. Stuff's like flying out of there. You're slamming the door. That like is your biggest stress. You need to arrange that differently.
I have a pretty good system now.
Now, I haven't seen you get in there lately. Yeah. So, but having your kids handle these situations not only shows them how you handle them, it prepares them for later on in life as well, because things are always going to go wrong. They might be little things and they may be big things. And you need to be able to, your children need to be able to handle them, because there's way too many children nowadays that can't.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing for you to teach your children this. And it's a very interesting line that we may cross, to be honest. Some people try to guard their children from problems and stressful situations. You know, these are adult things. Let's adults take care of them. And maybe we should do that more. We don't do that really at all, to be honest. Our kids are involved in pretty much all the decisions.
Not to mention they don't have a choice in a lot of it because we live in an RV.
True. We live in an RV, but we could take things outside or, you know, like if we're really worried about it. But we feel confident in our children not being panicky or stressed or whatever. And also learning about things, you know, like the Jeep. I mean, in the last month, we have put almost $3,000 into it, I think. So, I mean, we put quite a bit of money into it. And those situations, it's important for the kids to see that, even though it's like a money thing. Adults should take care of that. Kids shouldn't. But it's also like good for them to see it because they understand that money is not unlimited.
Yeah.
And kids have a hard time of understanding that anyway. So this like helps them figure it out. Like, oh, okay. Like money is not just shows up in my account. Like,
yep.
The next point is learning from your experiences. This is very important because these things that go wrong are just going to go wrong again. And if you haven't learned from your experience, like for example, the engine light, we probably should be a little bit more careful about the engine lights that are showing up. And you did that by buying the scanner.
Yep.
So now we can scan those. We can get them taken care of. And I think that that's important when we go into areas that are so remote.
Yeah. And that's another thing is there are places that offer free engine scanning, but sometimes we're not in those areas. So to be able to diagnose something myself, if it's something that I could fix while we're on the road, it makes it easier to do that. And another part of, I think somewhat with the check engine light is we were like either in Yuma or Vegas. You don't really have that worry.
Yeah,
when you're
true.
In a town, a big city or whatever, that has everything. You have mechanics, you have all the things. Like, And I never really even considered breaking down. I thought it was just a, you know, it was just one of those Jeep things where the light is on, you know. So it's like, I really wasn't worried about being stranded until you get to Death Valley. And then you are stranded.
But this is a learning experience. And this is good because it was only 10 miles from us.
Yeah.
Even if you had to walk the full 10 miles, which would not have been good.
No.
With two dogs. However, even if you had to do that, it wouldn't have been like as bad as some situations that we could be in.
Being 10 miles into a super remote trail.
That's hilly.
That you can't get a tow truck to.
Yeah. And more than likely, the road that you were on was pretty busy. More than likely, somebody would have stopped. So that is good, too. And you don't even need to, like, get in their vehicle. You could just say, can you make a phone call for me? Can you call this number when you get into Signal?
Yep.
Or whatever. But, yeah, so that is something we've also thought of other ways, you know, of being in areas, you know, learning from that experience about not having Signal at all. We do have GMRS radios. We have realized from that situation that we should probably do a little bit more research with them to make sure that we can, like, scan a little bit easier, try to see if there's anybody talking on it.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, about learning from these instances and experiences is it's good after it's all done to, like, break it down. You know, like, this is what happened. It's fixed now, but we should do this in the future. We've already done that. Like, now that we're safe, once Tony got back to the RV, we had 8 hours to talk about what we should have done.
Yeah.
And so now we, you know, we've broke that incident down and we'll be more prepared the next time the engine light comes on or one of these incidences happen.
Yeah.
So that's important to, like, keep in mind is what you learn from the experiences. Lastly, especially if you are a full-time RVer and you travel, so this is not really for stationary people, but if you're traveling around, there is going to be an impact on your travel plans at some point in your full-time journey, more than likely, unless you're a very, very lucky person.
Yeah, there's some lucky ones out there. But we've met a lot of people that have run into, especially tow vehicle issues, truck issues, RV, you know, whatever.
And your ability to bounce back is very important in this lifestyle, but your travel plans may be changed. The great thing, though, is that you have so many other options in the new route or whatever. So you just have to, like, look at it in a positive way because, for example, we may not be able to go back through Nevada, which we want to do. We want to do, like, the east side of Nevada.
Yep.
But we always have another year, another time to do that. And because we can't go through Nevada, we may have to go through Utah, which is not a bad thing, to be honest.
One of our favorite states. Yeah. So
I love Utah, and that's totally fine if we have to do that. Now, that being said, if we can still do Nevada, I would like to do it just because we haven't done it yet, and I hear it's really pretty. So both options are good options.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing to, like, not think of it as a huge negative. You know, you wanted to do the coast and you couldn't do it that year. That's fine. You can do it the next year. Do something else instead or whatever. Yeah. Your plans can change. The best thing about this lifestyle is that the freedom of it. Don't get tied down to your specific plans and be bummed that you can't do them. Another example that we had. So in 2022, we were in Florida and we were going to do the East Coast that year. In summer. So when summer came, we were going to go up the East Coast and then go over to Michigan. And they ended up doing a lot of COVID stuff still 2 years after. Yeah. Anyways, they did a lot of COVID stuff and they had to have like almost the entire East Coast was under mask requirements. And we just didn't want to do that. So we decided to change our plans and go to the West Coast instead, which actually ended up being better. We ended up getting a dog and a whole bunch of other things. So, yeah, just because the plans didn't work out that time, we rearranged them and did better things. That's the best thing about this lifestyle. So think of it like that this lifestyle is so free that you're able to change your route completely and still have an amazing time.
Yeah, and that's one thing, like, when we plan our routes, we leave a lot of flexibility there. Like, we don't book things months in advance unless we are absolutely sure that's what we want to do at that time. Very rarely do we do that unless it's a big event. We didn't know how long we were going to be in Death Valley. We assumed probably a week, week and a half, but it could have been 2 weeks. It could have been, if it got too hot, it could have been 5 days. So we just kind of left, we leave a lot of that stuff open, and it helps because we're not locked into, like you said, we're not tied down to a specific schedule. Like when you take a vacation to Disney World and you have an itinerary for every hour of every day that you're there, this is just a grander scale. Kind of helps with the stress and everything. It's like we could stay in Central Nevada. We could stay at that cool hot spring for a week if we wanted, if it's cool enough. Or if it's a bust, we could leave it after 2 days.
And we do all of our planning with RV Trip Wizard, and we can go in and tweak things and then find different campgrounds and stuff like that. So if you have to change your route, it's really easy to do that in there because you just put in a new spot and it directs you over there, and then you can start looking in that area. One scary thing about changing your route for emergency situations is it may be hard to find campgrounds if you need to stay in a campground. So if you're out west, like in the cool parts, you could probably find a boondocking spot if you can't find a campground, which is convenient.
Exactly.
We did have one issue where we had to find a campground. That's when our water pump went bad. Where were we when that happened?
We were in southern Utah.
Yeah. So we were actually supposed to be boondocking, but our water pump went bad, so we had to find a campground. That ended up being a little bit of a hard situation, and we had to find one that was $50 a night, which is over my limit normally.
And in the middle of nowhere, and they shut the water off on us anyways because of the temperature. So we've talked about that in other podcasts too.
But that was a whole interesting situation. But normally out west, you can find a boondocking spot to find it. Yeah. But if you're out east, that may be a harder situation because you have to find campgrounds, especially if you're in a busy time. If you're traveling out east, I would have multiple options. And you do that sometimes too, especially with boondocking spots. You have like two or three spots in an area. And so when we get to that area, you know, if the first spot doesn't work out, we can always go to the second or third. And I would recommend that if you're traveling in the east or having
anywhere,
at least
really,
an idea. Like, okay, just so you're not like caught off guard. You know, if something doesn't work out or you have to change your route a little bit, you know, a bridge is too small or whatever, then you can easily do that and you can not stress about it. Being prepared really is all this is about, to be honest. All of these can be taken care of with being prepared. If you just think things out in your head, the what if situations, it takes away half the stress. And when you're not stressed, you're going to be able to figure it out, I promise.
Yeah.
The stress is what kills you.
And the Jeep, I would say the Jeep problem is not really something that we've really contemplated much, because over the past, we've owned it for almost 4 years. The first 2.5 to 3 years, it was pretty much problem free. So it was never really a concern.
Then we had to lift it.
We had to go do a bunch of stuff to it. And, you know, we do put a lot of miles on the Jeep. We use it for all of our adventures and chores and errands and everything. That's our only vehicle. So we put a lot of miles on it.
The most important thing, wrapping this whole thing up, the most important thing to keep in mind is the reason why you're doing this. So I saw this Instagram reel, and it was perfect timing. It said, living rich is greater than being rich. And that is totally true. Like this, the reason why we live this lifestyle is to make memories with our children, to live a freer life where we can explore the country, not be tied down to work schedules or vacation 2 week trips. That's why we do this. So we can see all of this with our children, see it through their eyes, experience it together, see our children grow without being stuck at like a 9-to-5 work.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if we have this snag and we have to come back to Yuma or not, because memories were still being made. In fact, memories were made on our 8-hour trip back.
Yep.
You know, like, so it's really interesting. It's just important to keep that all that in mind when you have problems like this, because what really matters is still there. Your family is still there. You still get to experience the country. It just may be a setback.
You may just have to sit in the middle of nowhere Death Valley for a couple hours.
But you had a great view.
The kids will always remember that. Remember that time that you broke down in the middle of nowhere in Death Valley?
Yeah, you had a great view, though.
Yeah.
Be honest. I mean, it was blue skies. The mountains were beautiful.
Yeah.
You were on this, like, long, straight road. You got some good pictures of the Jeep with its hood up.
We definitely made a memory that day.
These experiences can be challenging. It's good to remember, like, why you do this.
Yeah.
Because I think that real hit, like, it was perfect when I saw it because I'm like, totally true. We may have struggles and we may run into, like, some snags, but the most important part is we get to experience it together.
Yep.
And I love that.
Yeah, we work through it together. Mm-hmm. If you're listening and you've had similar snags or similar setbacks, or if you've had to completely abandon your immediate plans, we love to hear about that stuff. We like to, if you're okay with sharing it, we would love to share that kind of stuff on our podcast. I think it really helps other people. Some people don't think about the what ifs or the, you know, the preparation side of it. We like to do that for the RV community. We like to put that information out there and we like to learn from it.
Yeah. It's good to have all those zombie stories.
Yeah.
So that when catastrophe happens, you're ready. Like, I have a good one. What if we decide to do a podcast in 90-degree weather in Yuma and we're an hour and 20 minutes into the podcast? What would happen inside our RV at that point?
It would become an oven.
Maybe we should wrap this up.
Yep.
Turn the air back on. Listen, give us your stories. You can leave them at thefailas.com/message. hi@thefailas.com or any of our social media. You can DM us or message us. We love to hear your stories, truthfully. And let us know how you handled them or how you didn't handle them. Maybe you're in sticks and bricks again.
Yep.
We've heard some crazy stories. One story, I just got to tell you this and then we can wrap this up. We met this couple in a pot in the hot tub in Yuma. And they were on the road for less than a year. Had already experienced smoky brakes or something, right, on a highway or loose lug nuts.
Oh, yeah.
They had already experienced, that was on a hill or a mountain pass, by the way. The second problem they experienced, somebody tried breaking into their RV in a boondocking spot in, like, the most unusual place for that to happen. It was, like, Idaho or Montana or Wyoming or something. Yeah. So totally crazy experiences. And they were like loving it up, living it up. They were happy. They're still on the road.
Yep.
You know, they've made some changes. Like I think they said they had cameras now or something or, you know, some light up things. So you just have to, it's your ability to be able to bounce back from these situations that make or break this lifestyle, to be honest.
Yeah,
and adapt and overcome. You have to be
flexible. Yep. Yeah.
More than if you lived in a sticks and bricks. Things go wrong all the time with every situation. But in this lifestyle, this moving, nomadic, like...
Free
lifestyle, more things can put you back and set you back. So you just have to be able to adapt really quickly to it.
And we have so far. I think we've done a pretty good job so far. So
even this incident.
Yep.
I'm thankful because I got my decals put on. I got to order a whole bunch of stuff I needed.
We got our RV washed and waxed.
Yeah, today it was washed and waxed. I can't wait to see it, but I'm not going outside in the heat. So yeah, let's wrap this up. We'll see you next week. Sorry about last week. Things just got a little crazy, but the kids should be on next week and we'll get back to our regular schedule.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
You can tell we're in Yuma. I feel like they're extra low right now.
They're way lower than they normally are.
I wonder why. The next point I want to point out. Let me say that again. So don't get bound down. Like, I don't know if bound down is the word I want to use.
But tied down?
Yeah. Anyways, back to the scheduled program.